This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Jean Bauer, co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary and a key member of Washingtonians for Humane Farms. Jean has initiated groundbreaking legal enforcement and legislative action to prevent farm animal abuse and played an important role in passing the first U.S. laws to prohibit cruel farming methods. He is also author of the book Farm Sanctuary, Changing Hearts and Minds About Animals and Food. Jean Bauer is here today to tell us about Initiative 1130, a Washington state measure to prevent the extreme confinement of egg-laying hens. Welcome, Jean.
Hi, Dan. It's great to be with you.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about Farm Sanctuary?
Yeah, sure. Farm Sanctuary is a nonprofit organization that works to prevent the inhumane treatment of animals on factory farms. We operate two sanctuaries, one in New York and one in California, for animals who have been rescued from abuse. In some cases, we've literally found living animals thrown in trash cans or living animals thrown on piles of dead animals. So we established these sanctuaries to begin caring for them. And we also advocate for reforms to prevent the inhumane treatment of animals on these factory farms.
What led to Farm Sanctuary becoming involved with Washingtonians for Humane Farms and the campaign for I-1130?
Well, for many years, we've been concerned about the inhumane confinement of animals, where they're packed so tightly they can't move. In the case of hens used in egg production, for example, they're packed into battery cages, which are small wire enclosures that are lined up in rows, stacked in tiers, in huge factory warehouses. Each bird is given less space than a sheet of paper. She's crowded so tightly she can't even stretch her wings. She's constantly scraping against the wire bars of her cages. Her feathers wear off. She often experiences bruises and abrasions on her body. And she'll live this way for about a year. So this is one of the most cruel systems that is in place. And when Washingtonians wanted to move forward on an effort, Farm Sanctuary was very happy to be involved.
What does Initiative 1130 propose? What are the specifics?
Initiative 1130 requires that hens that are used in egg production be given at least enough space to flap their wings, to turn around, to stand up, and lay down. It's a very modest measure, but what it will do ultimately is it will outlaw the use of battery cages, and it will require that egg producers move to a cage-free system, where the animals are not confined as tightly. So it's a step in the right direction. We think it's very important, and we wholeheartedly support it.
Would you say more about why you have chosen to focus on this particular issue, the confinement of egg-laying hens? You said a bit about that earlier, but expand on it,
yeah,
please.
Well, we're concerned about the confinement of egg-laying hens as well as other farm animals, and we've worked in other states to pass laws to outlaw the inhumane confinement of calves that are raised for veal, for example. To produce veal, calves are taken from their mothers at birth. They're chained by the neck in small wooden crates, and they live that way their entire lives. Another of the cruel confinement systems are gestation crates, and this is how the breeding pigs are kept. In 2-foot-wide metal enclosures, where they're standing on concrete slatted floors, and they're encased in these enclosures that are just bigger than their own bodies, so they can't walk, they can't turn around, they can't exercise, and they'll live that way most of their lives. So we've worked to ban gestation crates in some states. But probably the worst confinement system are actually battery cages. And we've worked to outlaw battery cages in California and Michigan. And we're supporting efforts to outlaw those systems in other states as well, including Washington State. And the battery cage is perhaps the worst because the animals are confined for a year at a time. They're confined probably more tightly than any others and overcrowded. And the suffering the animals experience is among the worst as well. I mean, these are all bad, but battery cages are among the worst. And chickens, unfortunately, do not get the sort of respect that they deserve. I think that's because they're, you know, more different than humans than other animals. Calves and pigs are mammals, whereas chickens are not mammals. So sometimes it's harder for people to connect with them, but that doesn't mean they don't suffer. In fact, they suffer extremely badly in these systems, and they need our protection.
What groups are part of the Yes on 1130 Coalition?
Well, the Humane Society of the United States is the main group that's pushing this, but Farm Sanctuary is also involved. A number of local humane societies there in Washington, also the Consumer Federation of America, the Center for Food Safety, and farming groups are also coming on board now. This is an area of concern that affects animals, but it also affects our health. It affects the environment. When you have animals confined in such tight quarters by the thousands or hundreds of thousands, they generate large quantities of manure, which then can get into the environment and pollute it. And also when you have animals that are confined in these systems that are inhumane and very stressful, the animals are more likely to become diseased. So that presents health risks, and it also causes the development of emerging pathogens, new, more virulent forms of disease. And that's partly because of the overuse of antibiotics in these systems. So these factory farms are bad for animals, they're bad for the environment, they're bad for consumers, and they're also bad for small farmers. When you have these factory farms, they tend to push small farms out of business. They continuously work to cut the price of everything they do, and it comes at other costs. For example, when the environment is polluted, somebody has to pay for that, and it's not usually the factory farm. So these are systems that are bad across the board, and we have widespread support for the Yes on 1130 campaign.
Why did you choose to file an initiative rather than going through the state legislature?
Well, we would ideally like to see legislation passed, but unfortunately, in Washington state, as in other states, agribusiness is very influential in the legislative process. They've invested in the legislative process for decades, and what tends to happen when we introduce bills is they get referred to agriculture committees, and agriculture committees tend to be made up of legislators who are very friendly to agribusiness. And so those bills don't get a fair hearing, quite frankly, and so we've had to go to the initiative. And what we have found is that when we put these issues in front of the voters and we put these issues in front of citizens, most think that these animals deserve better. In fact, most are pretty surprised to learn how bad things have become on today's factory farms. So far, there's been initiatives on the ballot in three states, Florida, Arizona, and California. And in each case, voters overwhelmingly approved the initiatives to give these animals more space and to ban some of these cruel confinement systems. And we believe the same thing will happen in Washington state.
Specifically in Washington state, what are the conditions for most egg-laying hens? How widespread are cage-free farms compared to factory farms for egg-laying hens here?
Well, in Washington state, like in other states, battery cages are the norm. So the vast majority of the hens that are used for egg production in Washington state live their whole lives in battery cages where they can't even flap their wings, where they're constantly scraping against the bars of their wire cages, where their bodies become bruised and battered in the process. And there are some cage-free operations in Washington, and we believe that those should and will expand, especially if 1130 goes forward. But unfortunately, most hens in Washington state and in other states as well live in these battery cage operations where they're treated very badly and they're not given basic humane consideration. And that's what we're seeking to do with the Yes on 1130 campaign.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Jean Bauer, co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary and a key member of Washingtonians for Humane Farms. Our topic is Initiative 1130, a Washington state measure to prevent the extreme confinement of egg-laying hens. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Would you go into more detail about the evidence for the drawbacks of egg-laying hens being kept in cages?
Sure. Well, we've rescued hens from these cages at Farm Sanctuary, and they come in, and in some cases they've had bruising on over 50% of their bodies because they're constantly scraping against these bars. Also, the majority of these hens suffer from osteoporosis because they're not able to exercise and they're laying so many eggs each year that they're excreting huge quantities of calcium. In fact, in 1 year, a hen will excrete about 30 times more calcium than she has in her skeleton, and that is to form the eggs in these eggshells. So these birds are pushed beyond their biological limits. They're packed so tightly they can't exercise, they can't engage in normal behaviors, and they are injured as a result. And many of them have broken bones, in fact, when they're taken out of the cages. And another example of the inhumane treatment has to do with the fact that they are de-beaked. Parts of their beaks are cut off to prevent them from pecking each other in these stressful environments. And that's also a result of their overcrowding.
What other issues affect the well-being of egg-laying hens besides space?
Well, they're pushed beyond their biological limits. They have been genetically bred to produce way more eggs than they would normally. And so their bodies are depleted of basic nutrients like calcium, as I was mentioning. And in a natural environment, a hen could live 15 years. But on these battery cage operations, they're usually sent to slaughter after just 1 or 2 years in production as their productivity drops off because, again, they've been pushed beyond their biological limits. You know, like all animals, chickens have feelings, chickens feel pain, and they deserve to be treated with respect and with compassion. There's actually a study that just came out that talked about empathy in chickens, which was very interesting, and it shows that these animals have the capacity to feel the pain of other animals around them. And, you know, when you think about the conditions they live in these battery cages, it's really disturbing to realize just how tragic and painful and horrible that experience is, because these animals are more than just egg-laying machines, as the industry likes to see them. They are living, feeling creatures. They develop relationships with other animals around them. You know, at Farm Sanctuary, we have chickens that develop very close relationships with other chickens or with other animals, including people. So these are intelligent, sensitive beings, and they deserve better than what we're giving them on these factory farms.
How would using more humane conditions affect the cost of eggs?
Well, the industry's own researchers have found that it would increase the cost by less than 1 penny per egg. So the expense is small, but the benefit is great. And there are also other benefits associated with moving away from these battery cage operations, including improved human health, improved environmental protection, and also a better environment for family farms. Because most family farms, and most people generally, think that animals deserve to be treated with respect. So by preventing some of this most intense confinement, it will help to create an environment where family farms are better able to compete.
How extensive is the current market for cage-free eggs? Where are they being sold currently?
Well, the market for cage-free eggs is growing, and you can usually find cage-free eggs at health food stores, at Whole Foods, and even in some regular grocery stores now. And in fact, the demand for these products is much greater than the supply. So there is significant opportunity for producers who want to move into producing foods that consumers feel better about buying. So the market is not huge at this time, but it is growing. And for farmers who want to move in that direction, there's lots of opportunities.
What do you say to egg producers who claim that Initiative 1130 would put them out of business?
Well, I think certain businesses need to change, frankly, and change is inevitable. It's just a matter of what kind of change and how it occurs. You know, we don't have buggy whip manufacturers anymore, for example, and there are certain practices that have happened that have developed on the farms that are outside the bound of acceptable conduct. Most people think that what is happening on these factory farms is intolerable and unacceptable, and these farmers are producing food for a mainstream audience, so they do need to adjust to better align themselves with what consumers expect. And what's happened over the past several decades is factory farming has developed these systems sort of in a vacuum without much public scrutiny, and they've confined animals ever more tightly. They've continued to pollute the environment, treat workers badly, and produce foods that are tainted with various pathogens. And now this is coming to light, and as citizens learn about what is happening on the factory farm and learn about the inhumane treatment of these animals, they're demanding reform. And, you know, we hope that the industry will come to the table and will be willing to make these reforms on a voluntary basis, and we've reached out to them. We would like to see legislation passed that we can all live with. But unfortunately, in many cases, the agribusiness folks tend to dig in, and so the only option we have is to go to the ballot and to put this before voters. And so that's what's happening right now in Washington State.
I understand the initiative pertains only to eggs sold in shells. Why were the eggs sold in Washington State in powder or liquid form not included in Initiative 1130?
Well, we thought it was easier just to say shell eggs. And when you start getting into eggs sold in powder or liquid, you know, then you have to go into heavily processed foods, and it just becomes much more difficult to enforce. So by saying that the shell eggs have to come from hens that are treated according to the provisions of 1130, which means that they would have to have space to stretch their wings, stand up, lay down, and turn around, it was just easier to enforce. easier to track that egg directly back to the production facility.
Would you say more about the process to get I-1130 on the ballot in November?
Yes. Right now, citizens across Washington State are volunteering to go out and collect signatures to put this measure on the ballot. And we encourage people to join the campaign and to go to the yeson1130.com website and get involved. These efforts are citizens' initiatives. It requires people who care about animals and care about changing the inhumane treatment of animals on factory farms to be engaged. And so right now we're in the midst of a signature gathering effort. We need to collect 300,000 signatures of registered voters in Washington State in order to qualify this for the ballot.
And by what date do those signatures need to be gathered?
We need to collect these signatures by early July, and then we will submit them to the state, and hopefully we'll have enough. And if we do, it will be on the ballot this coming November.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Jean Bauer, co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary, and a key member of Washingtonians for Humane Farms. Our topic is Initiative 1130, a Washington state measure to prevent the extreme confinement of egg-laying hens. What activities are going on right now in Washington state to promote the initiative?
Well, there's going to be signature-gathering efforts at festivals, at concerts, at farmers' markets. And right now, volunteers are in the streets at a variety of these places just collecting signatures. So if you see one of these volunteers for Washingtonians for Humane Farms, please be friendly to them and sign their petition. They're volunteers who are doing this out of the goodness of their heart. If this is an issue that you are interested in, I would encourage you to please contact the campaign, yeson1130.com, to get involved. So this is a long process, but it's fun as well to see people responding in a positive way to these issues. And, you know, most people are humane. Most people think animals should be treated better. So it's wonderful to see people stepping up and getting engaged in this effort.
What kind of response are you getting so far from Washington state citizens overall?
Oh, it's been wonderful. I was out there just about a week ago and spent time visiting with people, and there was overwhelming support for this. And it really does your heart good, you know, to see people who care and want to make a difference. So far, so good. And I'm very enthusiastic and optimistic about the prospects of this.
What feedback are you getting from farmers who are raising egg-laying hens?
Well, you know, there's a handful of factory farmers in Washington state who are not happy about this, as you could expect. But this is an industry that has done things its own way for many years and expects to continue doing things in a way that most citizens consider to be inhumane and unacceptable. So, you know, change sometimes can be challenging, but still we, you know, hope that these farmers will be open to coming to the table at some point. If not, then of course this will go to the ballot and there will be a vote. But, you know, change can be hard, but we're still hopeful that these farmers will recognize that at the end of the day this is positive and will ultimately go along with it.
Are there any other groups who have come out against the initiative?
Well, it's mainly the factory farming folks, you know, that speak out against this initiative. Otherwise, we have consumer groups with us, environmental groups, small farmer groups, and the vast majority of citizens. And that's usually how the proponents and opponents stack up. You know, the Humane Society of the U.S., the ASPCA, you know, all of the humane organizations are supporting this effort, and all the factory farmers are opposing it.
You mentioned a bit about this earlier, but would you speak about similar laws that have been passed in other states?
Yes, we've worked on initiatives in other states, and the most recent one was in California, where we put an initiative on the ballot in 2008. It was called Proposition 2, and that effort sought to outlaw the use of veal crates for calves, gestation crates for pigs, and battery cages for egg-laying hens. And that measure required that these animals have enough space to stand up, lay down, turn around, and stretch their limbs. Very similar to what the Washington effort seeks to do. And when Proposition 2 was on the ballot in California in November 2008, it passed by an overwhelming margin, a nearly 2-to-1 margin. So we're hopeful about our prospects in Washington state as well. But after California passed Prop 2, we then went to Michigan, and there the agribusiness people came to the table and they agreed to a compromise that would phase out the use of veal crates, gestation crates, and battery cages. And, you know, we like that model because it allows the stakeholders with different points of view to come together and to hammer out a compromise that everybody can live with. That has not yet happened in Washington State. It may not happen in Washington State, but that did happen in Michigan. And so battery cages, as well as veal crates and gestation crates, are going to be phased out there now by law.
So far, has the implementation been successful in states where the laws have been passed?
Yes. So far, where these laws have been passed, the implementation has gone forward. In California, there's an egg factory farm that is challenging Proposition 2, so that is in court. But we feel that our side will prevail and that the law will ultimately be implemented. But there are still some egg factory farms who are going into this kicking and screaming, basically. But that was the case earlier with the gestation crate farmers and the veal crate farmers. But they now seem to be recognizing that change is inevitable. It's just the egg industry that still seems pretty dug in. But hopefully, as time goes, they'll recognize that this change is beneficial for everybody, especially in the long run.
So are there other states where you're also trying to put forward this same kind of initiative, where it hasn't passed yet, but you're working on campaigns?
Well, we're working on legislation in the state of Florida, but there was actually an initiative in Florida back in 2002. In fact, it was the first initiative to deal with these issues, and that initiative banned gestation crates, which are the 2-foot-wide enclosures for the breeding pigs. Right now, there's legislation that's been introduced in Florida State to outlaw battery cages and veal crates. So we're working on that, and we hope that that moves forward.
Are there other states that would be good candidates for having similar legislation?
Well, ultimately, all states are good candidates, and we would like to see this type of legislation enacted nationwide. So in addition to state efforts, there may be some federal efforts down the pike a little bit. There's nothing concrete right now, but I'm hopeful that we'll be able to see something enacted federally in the not-too-distant future.
During the time that you have been working on humane farming methods, have you noticed a shift in people's attitude?
Yes. I've been working on this since 1986. And in the mid-1980s, there was very little thought or consideration given to the way these animals were being treated on farms. Today, there is widespread awareness about factory farming. There's widespread opposition to the inhumane treatment of animals on these industrialized animal farms. And there's a movement afoot to prohibit cruelty. And Yes on 1130 is one of those efforts. In fact, it's among the most significant efforts currently underway.
What other issues is Farm Sanctuary planning to focus on over the next several years?
Well, one of our long-standing campaigns has to do with preventing downed animals, and these are animals that are too sick even to walk, from being used in the human food supply. And we've been able to prevent downed cows from going into the human food supply, but we also think that this should apply to pigs and sheep and goats and all animals that are too sick to walk. So we filed a petition with the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and we've argued that animals that are too sick to walk should be humanely euthanized rather than be trucked off to slaughterhouses and then killed and used for human food. And during this process, we've been pretty surprised to learn just how bad it has gotten. We originally filed a petition with the USDA, and we argued that diseased animals should not be allowed into the food supply. But their response to us was that it was normal and common and appropriate for diseased animals to be used for human food. So, you know, there's still a lot of work to do in that area. And unfortunately, on farms today, a bad has become normal, and we're now trying to change that. And 1130 in Washington State is one big area and a big effort to change that and to improve conditions. But our work in Washington, D.C. to prevent downed animals from going into the food supply is another way to do that. We're also working on a campaign to educate people about food labels. Oftentimes, things are labeled in a way that sounds a lot better than it really is. The natural label, for example, you can have natural beef that is sold as natural, but it can come from cattle who are raised in feedlots and fed hormones. So sometimes these labels sound a lot better than they are, and that's another thing we want to educate people about.
Overall, what is your view of using animals for food at all?
Well, I'm a vegan, and Farm Sanctuary encourages people to consider a vegan lifestyle. And so that's where I come down. But at the end of the day, you know, this is a broader societal question, and each person needs to make their own choices. And I think that when you look at how animals are being treated on farms today, they're being treated in a way that most citizens consider to be appalling. So when it comes to legislation, we're working on efforts to bring these practices more into line with popular sentiments and widespread humane values. You know, most people think that animals deserve to be treated with some respect, And that's not happening on factory farms now. So we're working on legislative efforts to align those practices with citizens' values. But in terms of my own view, I think, you know, each of us has to think about our food choices on a daily basis and ultimately to make choices that we feel are appropriate and that are right for us. And for me, that means eating no animal foods. I've been a vegan since 1985. We can get everything we need by eating plants instead of animals.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I think the key message is that each of us can make a difference, and each of us has to decide what type of difference we want to make. We can decide to eat in a way that is more humane, and I encourage people to do that. We can also get involved in campaigns to prevent the inhumane treatment of animals. And so I strongly urge people to get involved with the Yes on 1130 campaign there in Washington State. It's very empowering. There are many things that are outside of our control that we can't do very much about. But right now, citizens in Washington have an opportunity to get engaged in a political effort that will have a very positive impact on animals, but also on the environment and on our own health. And by getting engaged is also very empowering because we're doing something to make a positive difference.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Gene.
Oh, my pleasure, Diane. Thank you so much.
You have just been listening to Gene Bauer, co-founder and president of Farm Sanctuary, speak about Initiative 1130, a Washington state measure to prevent the extreme confinement of egg-laying hens. For more information, check on the web at yeson1130.com and also www.farmsanctuary.org. Again, that's yeson1130.com and farmsanctuary.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.